Well, first of all, let me say that it is a delight and a privilege to come here this evening and to be with you, to worship God and to bring to you his word. And then before I begin, I'd like to reassure myself that the microphone is working and you can hear me. That's fine. Okay. It's a terrible thing to be speaking. You can't hear here what you can hear down there, and I'd like to be able to relax and not worry about what you can hear. Well, I mean the volume. this evening I'd like to look at John chapter 5 briefly. And so we are in the Gospel of John. And the passage that I read, the scene, you'll notice, is in Jerusalem. And it is at the feast. Now, if you know John's Gospel, you will probably realize that most of the Gospel, most of what John has decided to record for us, is located at Jerusalem and in the feast, in feasts of the Jews. Of the 21 chapters in John's Gospel, only about five are outside Jerusalem and not at a feast. So John, as he records for us the life and ministry of Christ, he is constantly showing us our Saviour in Jerusalem at the feast. And there is a reason why John concentrates on these occasions. Right at the beginning of the Gospel, he reminds us that the law was given through Moses. And he adds, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so he pictures our Lord Jesus going into Jerusalem, and in the temple and at the feasts, he is, as it were, surrounded by the testimony of Moses. All the things that they were doing at the feasts, the things that Moses gave them, they were types and shadows of him. And so as they meet at the feast, our Lord Jesus comes among them, and the reality, the grace, and the substance of what they have been waiting for is there among them. So there he is, if I can put it like this, the fulfillment of all the shadows that they have been worshipping in. Moses, the law came through Moses, says John, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so we see our Lord Jesus going into Jerusalem, going into the temple, and he tells us, John tells us, and this was a feast of the Jews. And we also notice that our Lord Jesus is there among sinners. Look at the people that he comes into contact with on that occasion. First of all, there is that man. We're not told what was wrong with him, but he was obviously unable to help himself to get into the water. Something was radically wrong with him, and he had been there a long time. John tells us he had been there for 38 years. And our Lord Jesus comes and heals him. But you notice what our Lord says to this man afterwards. He says to him, sin no more. Sin no more. And in those words, stop sinning. In those words, our Lord Jesus is lifting the veil off that man's experience. If you ask the question, why had he been there for 38 years? Well, the answer is that was a judgment of God upon him. God had moved into his life with his chastening hand. Think about it, that man, he knew what was wrong in his life, but he had been there for 38 years. Under the chastening tuition, if you like, of God. That is a long time to be held under a temporal chastening hand for sin. And our Lord Jesus goes to him. Yes, he has been healed, but you notice what he says to him. You have been healed, yes, but sin no more, lest something worse comes to you. And so our Lord is there dealing with that man in his sin, and he warns him. Do not think that the 38 years by the side of the pool at Bethesda, do not think that that is the worst that you have to fear. No, repent, turn from that sin, lest something worse comes to you. And then our Lord goes from that man, and soon he is surrounded by some of the Jews. And we know, we've read it, we know why, but we are told that some of the Jews wanted to kill him. And most of the chapter is about our Lord Jesus' contact with those Jews who wanted to kill him. And the part of the chapter that we didn't read tonight, in that part, the last part of the chapter, our Lord Jesus, as it were, unpacks their heart. He knows what is in the heart of those men. He says some frightening things about them. He says, you do not have the word of God in your heart. You do not have the love of God in your heart. You have never heard the Father's voice. And you do not know the Son. When our Lord speaks to them in the end, he lifts the veil off their lostness. They wanted to kill the Son of God. There they were, he says. You search the Scriptures. They were at the feast. They were in Jerusalem. As it were, they had placed themselves right in the middle of Moses' testimony. But he says, although you are there and surrounded by the types and the shadows of the law which speak of me, although you read the Scriptures and you think you have eternal life in them, he says, yes, but they are the ones who speak of me. And he says, and you will not come to me that you may have life. And so I want you to see, first of all, this evening, I want you to see our Lord. There he is, the Son of God, the Savior, surrounded, as it were, by these sinful people. Well, what will he say to such people? What will he say to them? Well, first of all, I want you to notice what Christ's subject is. I want you to notice the things that Jesus speaks to them about. Well, he comes and he talks to them about judgment and about life. You can see this in verses 21 and 22. He says to them, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. But then he goes on, that is about life, but then he goes on and speaks to them about judgment. He says, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Think about this. Christ is there among them and he says to them, do you know that God the Father has placed all judgment in my hands, in the hands of the Son of God? It says in verse 27, he goes on and says, and he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. But not only judgment, our Lord also speaks to them about life. Life. He says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And so our Lord Jesus comes to these people, that man, and particularly these Jews who want to kill him, who are stuck in their sin, who do not have the love of God in their heart. He comes to them and he says, I need to speak to you today about life and about judgment. These are the things that you need to reckon with. Now, don't you agree with me that these are the great concerns of any soul? Is not this what we ought to be concerned about ourselves? Should we not be concerned about life? And should we not be concerned about judgment? And what our Lord Jesus says on that day is this, that these great issues are all bound up in Him. That life and judgment are bound up with Jesus Christ. And so this is what He comes to speak to them about. He comes on that occasion into Jerusalem among these sinners, and He speaks to them about life and about judgment. Now, I want you to notice tonight that as He speaks to them about these momentous realities, He also speaks to them about two decisive moments in life. Do you notice in the chapter, did you notice as I read it to you, that twice our Lord says, the hour is coming. The hour is coming. We see this in verse 25. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And then in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, I want you to notice tonight that our Lord Jesus is not only speaking about life and judgment, but He's speaking to them about two hours, two momentous moments in history. Well, let's look at these for a moment. The second one, I'm going to take them in reverse order. The second one, He says in verse 28, the hour is coming when those who are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God, will hear His voice and come forth. They will come forth. He is talking about the general resurrection at the last day. One of the things that our Lord wants them to think about is the coming day of resurrection, the last day in the history of this world. And He says to them, on that day, the dead will live. Do you notice what He says? He says, all of them will hear the voice of the Son of God. Think for a moment about that occasion. The day will dawn when everyone who has lived in this world before and has gone from us and been buried, they will be raised from the dead. And this is how they will be raised. They will hear the voice of the Son of God calling them out of the tomb. In other words, what we read about in John 11, where our Lord Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus, and what does He say? Lazarus, come forth. That is exactly what will happen at the end of the age. Our Lord Jesus will return, and He will summon those who are in the graves to appear before Him. But what I want you to notice is that that day of resurrection will be a very different experience for different peoples. In fact, there will be two kinds of resurrection, so to speak. Two experiences when we hear, if we have died, when we hear the voice of Christ summoning us from our graves, then on that day, there will be two very different experiences of resurrection. Jesus says, He says, some will come forth to life, and some will come forth to judgment. What a contrast. What a difference. Think for a moment. Pause and think about the different experiences of resurrection. Maybe we can draw some help from Luke chapter 16, where we read about the rich man and Lazarus. It's not about resurrection as such, but we read about their eternal state. We read about their state after death. And we read that one, Lazarus, was comforted, but the other was tormented. He says, I am tormented in this flame. And this is what Jesus is thinking about. He is looking ahead. He says, I know that the day is coming when you all will be raised from your graves. But you will come forth to two very different resurrections. Some to life, some will be comforted, and some to condemnation. Even Daniel spoke of this. He says, those who are in the dust will live, and they will come forth, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and contempt. And we hear this note being sounded through the scriptures in one place after another. We are told in one place that when our Lord Jesus returns, that the saints, the believers, those who are waiting for him, will meet him in the air. We will rejoice if we know him now. We will rejoice to meet him as he comes. But we are told also of others who, when he appears, will call for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of the Lamb. And I tell you that there are these two pictures of the resurrection moment. There are those who are Christ's, who run, as it were, to meet him, who come into the home of their Father. And God will dwell with them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more crying or pain, says John. Why, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is the lamp of that city. And there they will be comforted. That will be an experience of joy, but not for everyone. There is also the resurrection to condemnation. There is also the outside. Outside are dogs. And our Lord Jesus is speaking to them about what will happen on that day. And I ask you this evening, at that hour, can anything be more important to us tonight? If we love and care about ourselves, can anything be more important this evening than to consider these things? Do we have concern for our own souls? And what about the souls of those we love? Do we have concern for members of our family who are not ready for that? What about brothers, sisters? What about children who are far from the Lord? What about aging parents? What about the men and women that we brush shoulders with in college or the workplace or the shop? Surely, when we think about that day when all who have lived will come out of their graves, and what they will come out to, surely it moves us with concern, doesn't it? Is not this an issue that we need to hear? Those Jews long ago, they needed to hear this. That man who had spent 38 years by the pool of Bethesda, he needed to know that there was something worse that could happen to him if he did not escape from his sins and repent and find forgiveness before the Lord. And so our Lord Jesus, he propels their minds forward to the end of this age. He says, that hour will strike. And he knows it will. He knows, he knew already that the hour would come when he would descend and he would command the dead to rise and they would hear him and they would come forth. Some to life and some to judgment. But then he also speaks to them about another decisive hour. And that's in verse 25. Most assuredly, he says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Now, he is not talking about the day of resurrection. He is talking about a different hour. He says to them, the hour is coming and now is. And if you know John's gospel, you will realize that he is talking about the day of Pentecost. And all that follows it until he returns. Our Lord Jesus is now thinking about the gospel voice that he will speak. He says, the hour is coming when the gospel will be proclaimed. And I think that he has in mind that time when he sends out the apostles and they send out others and they come and they say, we are ambassadors of Christ. When we speak to you, we speak on behalf of Christ in the name of Jesus and we speak his word to you. And what Christ has in mind here is this, that when the gospel is preached, that is another hour when people will hear his voice. Think about it. Our Lord knew that he would go to Calvary. He knew that he would go through that grave and rise and ascend. And he knew that from the throne of heaven, he would send out his Spirit. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, he would send out preachers to preach his word. Isn't it strange that when our Lord rose from the dead, he didn't show himself to the world, but he came and showed himself to the disciples. He met them in the upper room and on the mountainside, because it was never his intention, as it were, to remain and speak to men throughout this world himself. No, he was going to send his ambassadors out. And this is what he has in mind. He says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Now, what does he mean? The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Well, he's talking about the spiritually dead. He's talking about those who live in their body but are dead in trespasses and sins, whose hearts are unable to move towards God. He's talking about men in their lostness and in their sin. What he is saying is this, the hour is coming when I will send my word out to those who are lost and dead in trespasses and sins. And he says, and those who hear will live. Those who hear will live. Now he speaks about this in verse 24. He says this. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. What Christ has in mind here is this, that when he speaks to men in their deadness and in their lostness, when he speaks through his servants and speaks by the Holy Spirit, on that occasion and that hour, those who hear and believe will live. That is the moment when sinners in death pass from death to life. He says to the Jews around him, he says, "And some of you are not willing to come to me." And this is the decisive hour. Our Lord Jesus knew as he spoke to them that the decisive hour for the souls of any man, the decisive hour for you and for me, in one sense, is not the day of resurrection. It is the day when we hear the voice of Christ speaking to us through the preaching of the gospel. And it's in that hour that you and I settle our eternity. Not at the day of resurrection, but now. The Bible places this emphasis all the time. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. In another place, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. What I want to come to tonight as I close is this, that the great decisive hour in a man's life is not that last day. It is today when he hears the word of God. Today when people like me, the Bible calls us earthen vessels in all our weakness, the Lord Jesus is pleased to use weak little men so that through us he may call men to himself. And it is his voice that you must hear, not mine or anyone else's. In the preaching of the word of God, Christ is speaking. He is holding himself out to you. And he is saying, as we sung, "Come to me, you weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I am this world's light. Come to me, believe in me, hear my voice, become mine." And that is everlasting life. When you hear that and you believe in him, you pass from death to life. There are two moments, I think, when tremendous joy bursts upon the heart of the believer. The first time, I think, is when we really hear Christ speaking to us. When we sit and listen to some man or other speaking about Christ, the Son of God, the Lord, the Savior, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And by the mercy of the Holy Spirit, it's no longer a message out there that someone else is mouthing, but we hear Christ speaking to us in our hearts. And we rejoice to come to know the Savior. That is a moment of great joy. Yes, it's also very crushing and humbling. Because it's a moment when we face what we are and we reckon with our sinfulness and our vileness, but not without the remedy, not without the Savior, not without the one who clothes us in the robes of righteousness, not without the one whose blood has washed us free from sin. And I ask you tonight, have you known that moment? Do you know what I'm speaking about? Have you come to that time when you have seen Christ with the eye of your mind and you have grasped him by faith and you have said, "Yes, yes, my sins I lay upon the head of the Lamb of God because I cannot bear their weight. I must come to the Savior. Because these things will drag me down to hell. He will rescue me." I pray and I hope that you have heard Christ speaking to you. And if not before, then tonight. That you might go home tonight and say, the Son of God was there. God was in this place and I knew it not. And he spoke to me. God the Father spoke to me and drew me to his Son. The Holy Spirit opened the eyes of my mind that I might see him in his beauty, in the power of his salvation, in his effectiveness. And I am his, and he is mine forever. And if you have come to that position, then you have nothing to fear on the last day. Because you already know that on that great hour of resurrection, you will hear the voice of Christ calling you out of the tomb, not to condemnation, but to life, everlasting life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I don't know you. I know some of you. I don't know all of you. But I do say to you, if you are here tonight and you have never closed with Christ, then I urge you to do it. I urge you to change your position and come to him as he calls you. And you know that in him there is life. He has declared it. God has given the Son to have life in himself. And he has committed all judgment to the Son also. Well, may we know him. And may we love him. May we trust in him and have life. Life everlasting. No condemnation. Amen.